This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week's episode is brought to you by ThePerfectTrick.com. And right now, you can save 10% on your order by just using the promo code WORD. So whenever you're getting ready to check out and they ask you for your promo code, put in WORD. That's for the Magic Word Podcast. All you need to say WORD. Got it? WORD. Anyhow, that's through theperfecttrick.com. Go check them out. They got a great deal waiting for you right now. This week, we'd also like to welcome our two newest friends of the Magic Word, Stephen Schultz and Peter McCann. Welcome, guys, and thank you very much for your financial support. Any of you who would like to know more information about how that you can become a supporter and cash in on some pretty cool perks also, go to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/themagicword, and you can find information there, or you can go to the website for the Magic Word Podcast, and there is a tab that'll say become a friend of the Magic Word, give you all the information you want. Thank you guys again, I appreciate your support. This past week, I came across an interesting app that I wanted to share with you. It's not something that comes from Murphy's Magic. It's something that is outside that. There are a lot of really cool apps out there, certainly, and I had mentioned one that I thought was a highlight of the Magic Live convention that I had talked about earlier that was really not an app, but is just something that happens on your phone. You have to go back and listen to that podcast. It was kind of interesting. But there is an app that is only 99 cents. It's available for Android or for your Apple, your iOS as well. Get it through the Play Store or through the iTunes Store. And it's called WeKnowAnyCard.com. Actually, what you would put in when you're looking for this in the Play Store or the iTunes Store is WeKnowAnyCard without any spaces. You don't need the .com, just WeKnowAnyCard. There's another app out there called AnyCard. This is not it. The effect on this is basically the call the wizard kind of a thing, where you would make a phone call and you have a friend on the other end of the line, of course, and as there is some silence, he's saying clubs, hearts, spades, diamonds, or whatever, and as soon as you interrupt and say something, he knows that's the value, and then he starts off ace, two, three, four, and then you say something else. Anyhow, you have to have a friend who's going to be on the other end of the line. This particular app is pretty cool because it basically is kind of like Call the Wizard, except you don't need to bother anybody because all the cards, all the 52 cards are listed in the on the app. And so you're really not making a phone call, although that from your phone, in all appearances, you really are. And the method is quite devious, clever, and organic. It makes a lot of sense. There is really no fumbling or fidgeting. I think it's just for 99 cents. I just think it's a really great deal. And so again, it's called WeKnowAnyCard. And if you like the app as much as I do, then you can leave a comment in the iTunes Store or in the Play Store, as I did, and be sure and tell them that you heard it here on the Magic Word Podcast. And you'll probably get a nice email from the creator. And so it's something I would recommend. So, sorry, kind of got off on a little tangent over there early on. Usually I put these reviews at the end over there, but it was something that I just learned about this week, and it was too good just not to share. And besides that, it was a really great deal. Speaking of great deals, I've got a wonderful guest, I should say three wonderful guests, who are going to join us here this week. This is a conversation I had when I was at Magic Live in Las Vegas here this year, 2018. And for a long time, I've been wanting to get together with Bill Malone and actually sit down and chat with him. But as you can imagine, he's a hard guy to try to pin down. Not only that, that Charlie Fry and company, that is Charlie and his wife Sherry, are also equally difficult to try to pin down because they are really traveling all over the world. The last time I had heard of them, they were over in Australia traveling with the Illusionists, and they've been in New York and, oh goodness, who knows where. It's difficult to try to pin them down, and even when they are around and I see them at a convention, they're running from one place to another, and they'll say, I'll get with you later. And this is one of those times we finally kind of had the stars all align, and I got both Charlie and Sherry along with Bill Malone all in the same room at the same time, and hilarity ensued. So we were kind of, first of all, having some difficulty trying to find a room where we can actually get together to chat, because there were so many rooms that were taken by Magic Live, as you can imagine, with 1,600 people in this hotel, and every room, every little nook and cranny was kind of full. We were trying to find some quiet corner where there weren't a lot of other magicians or anyone else, hotel staff or anybody to interrupt us. So anyhow, we found a little office space, but unfortunately, after a little while, we had to leave that place. So this was kind of an abbreviated podcast, which leaves a little bit more on the back end of this to give some product reviews of some things from Murphy's Magic Supplies. Now, I realize that some of you may not necessarily know who Bill Malone is, nor Charlie Fry and Company. You may know one or the other, but perhaps not both. So let me just tell you a little bit about Bill Malone. He was from Chicago, and I've known him for a long number of years. He is a favorite everywhere he goes, really. I've got his DVDs that L&L put out that were absolutely hilarious. Great ideas, things that he has produced. But I went over to the Genie Magazine forum, or actually a Genie forum, to look up at their Magicpedia about his biography, and to learn a little bit more to tell you about him. And he says he began performing at a little bit of Magic, which is a club there, a comedy magic club in Chicago's South Side. And after 5 years, he moved to New York Lounge, a famous magic club also located in Chicago on the North Side. In 1987, Bill relocated to sunny Fort Lauderdale, where he owned and operated his own magic comedy club called Houdini's Pub. His career skyrocketed after appearing on the world's greatest magic TV show. And Boca Raton and Boca Resort Hotel and Club formed a partnership with Bill, and together they created Malone's Magic Bar, which operated for over a decade. Today, he's really known a lot as a trade show magician. He is in high demand, and recently, unfortunately, he had the death of Robin Leach. And if you go back and listen to the podcast with Robin Leach, he said that Bill Malone is his favorite magician. I mean, he went on and on in such glowing terms about how much that he absolutely admires and loves Bill Malone, and would hire him to come and perform for his guests. And also, as for Charlie Fry and Company, his wife, Company being Sherry, just a few things that I've lifted from their website. He said they starred in the Folies Bergère, which led them to being named Las Vegas's Specialty Act of the Year. Other prestigious appearances have included opening for Liza Minnelli and starring in the internationally syndicated television special The World's Top Shows, and featured appearance in Tom Hanks' film That Thing You Do. Recent honors include the coveted 2015 Ken Dodd Comedy Award in England and the 2015 Award of Excellence from the International Jugglers Association. Starring in the highly acclaimed The Illusionist Turn of the Century production at the Palace, they helped make Broadway history with the largest grossing magic show ever to appear on the Great White Way. So he has done a lot of stuff. And in fact, whenever I had booked him to work at the Texas Association of Magicians when I was president back in 2000, I had talked with, actually, it was a recommendation given to me by Stan Allen. Stan said, this is my favorite act. You got, he's not just a juggler. He's not just a magician. He is the total package. And I have been around Charlie too little. I wish I could be with him a lot more, or just to watch. The guy is amazing, and I agree with it wholeheartedly. So anyhow, let me again step out of the way and introduce then my three guests here for this week. Please welcome Bill Malone and Charlie Fry and Company. That's Sherry, here on The Magic Word. Well, good afternoon and hello. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And today I've got with me not one, not two, but three people over here. First of all, Bill Malone. Hey, Billy.
Boy, these minutes are good, aren't they?
And Charlie Fry and Sherry. Hey, Charlie.
Hi, I just put a mint in my mouth.
Hello?
Testing?
Testing. No, hi, everybody. I'm Bill. We didn't properly introduce ourselves. My name is Bill Malone. The gentleman next to me is Charlie Fry, and the beautiful woman to his left is Sherry, but she likes me.
These are my husbands.
Yes.
But she likes everybody. She's just a nice person who likes everybody, I'm sure.
That's her name is okay. Sherry.
S-H-E-R. Right, exactly. Sherry. S-H-A-R-E. Sherry.
That's Sherry with an S.
Okay.
This is just the first
Scott, why did you bring us here?
I convened this meeting because I had some questions about when you're going to be starting to join the Illusionists. Is it 1908 or when is it? What century are you in now?
I thought we were going to interview you. Scott, how did you get into magic?
No, not an interview. But, no.
Did you see his Broadway show?
I haven't seen that. You haven't been to Houston. That's why I haven't seen it yet.
We haven't done the American tour with it. Well, we did play Broadway with the 1903 one. They called it Turn of the Century. They changed the name.
Did you do it in 1903, or was it like...
We did it in 19...
Oh, is that like the theme of... okay, I got it.
It's a steampunk thing.
It's the Turn of the Century thing.
It's 15th year in show business.
So. Yeah. So did you know who Ernest was?
I knew him personally.
Really?
Wow. Knew him? I...
The mint's falling out of your mouth.
The mint is falling out of the mouth.
It seemed like such a good idea at the time. Yeah, just wipe it on that tablecloth. That's fine there, Charlie.
Sorry.
Are you going to pull this tablecloth off? Okay.
Yeah, I do that. I did that in the 1903 show. Yeah, we did it. It was the third version of The Illusionist, and that one was themed like Turn of the Century. We did it several places in the world. Australia, Middle East, Canada. I don't know. Where else have we did it? America, Mexico.
Asia.
Sometimes we do their other version, which is just typical Illusionist, which it doesn't have the theme. And we do the same act either way. We change our costume a little bit. But, yeah, so we've done the normal Illusionist one, and then we've done the Turn of the Century one.
That's interesting. I never did it. I never did it in Asia.
I'm sorry.
I'll pick up your peppermint.
I thought this part was about
you. Finish your thought. I'll get your peppermint.
All right.
Okay.
Can you get him another mint, sir?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm done now.
Wafer thin? It's wafer thin.
That's enough.
It's wafer thin.
Monty Python fan.
Enough about Charlie. Charlie's just a juggler. That's not Dr. Charlie. That's Dr. Bill Malone. He's an icon.
You know what? I push myself.
Have you ever been in Australia?
I push myself in this talk, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that Fry and Company do the most entertaining act that's out there, period. Anyone that's ever seen them work, especially at a magic convention, they close the show and nobody can follow it. I love these guys. I love Sherry a lot more. but I do like
you make
Charlie
me muffins?
Too. Yeah, I get them. My muffins are right
the whole
down
muffin
here
or just the top?
Muffin top.
Don't make fun of my hair. That's
you
not
know. So, I can see why. Yeah, you make the muffins after him. I got the idea.
Do
they call you muffin for short?
Top. No, not for short, for long.
Okay. For a long time.
Yeah.
So I lost my train of thought. You were saying, so as far as the Illusionists and the tour, and I
Bill
lost
would
my
never
thought.
Stoop to doing this tour. Bill,
no. No, I don't. You know, I like to make money. You know, I like what I get paid. So I don't do those Illusionist tours. You know, they call me all the time and say, hey, would you be a dummy for the...
I bet you they call you about AGT, don't they? For America's Got... I mean, we get those phone
calls. No, they called me to have my dog on AGT, my dog Dylan.
What does Dylan do?
Magic dog. He does magic tricks. And we're working on it right now. He should be on next season if things go well. And
what does he do?
Well, we're teaching him how to sit. And hopefully within a year, he'll get that down. And, you know, Simon likes dogs. Sitting is a good thing.
This is all top secret, right? Nobody actually listens to this.
Yeah, no.
There are only two listeners out here.
Yeah, we're teaching him to sit, and he's got barking down, but it's whenever he wants to do it. So we're hoping he does it.
It's not on command.
No. Okay. If you ring the doorbell.
Okay, well, then he will.
Yeah, no, but seriously.
That's what he humps your leg.
My dog may be on next season.
And it's called Dylan.
Yes.
Is it with a Y or I?
No, it's named after Bob Dylan.
So it's a Y.
Yeah.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So now I remember my point, is that talking about Charlie and Sherry, Charlie and Company, or Fry and Company, because I remember that Stan Allen had told me years ago before that I knew of
you. Yeah, well, Dylan does this other thing.
Yeah, he was also.
Yeah, he's a good boy. I like to give him cookies and stuff.
The Greatest Company said that he does everything. It's kind of like you're the Sammy Davis Jr. of magic, you know, that you can sing, dance, and play and everything, and so I can juggle.
Yeah, but Dylan does, you know, he sits up.
And Stan says you got to book Charlie and Company.
Well, we don't. So. We got called for Curtis Stan this week.
No, thank you, Dylan.
So we don't.
Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan. Sorry, we got
one
called
of those Stan countries.
Well, we don't do anything Stan anymore.
But we recommended Dylan for that job.
Yeah.
So he's going to do the warm up, I guess, somewhere. Before he breaks it in at the America's Got Talent.
Albania. Yeah. He's got. They thought AGT. Oh no, but Albania's Got Talent.
No, he doesn't go there. Hey, he gets sick as a dog when he goes there. Dylan gets sick as a dog when he goes to Albania. He doesn't go there anymore.
Wouldn't you say sick as a cat?
No, not when you're a dog.
What do cats say?
I don't think cats talk. I don't know what you're on, Scott. I mean, I know we're in Vegas, and you have been seen coming in and out of brownie shops. But
Stan Allen just walked in, but he's
hey there, Stan.
Like
hey, Stan. How
hey,
are
Stan.
You?
You can say hello
I'm not
at least.
Stan Allen.
Okay.
I am not. I just came to say hi to Bill Malone.
Yeah, that's we're on here. We're live right now. Yeah,
we're not live, but we're
got like three listeners.
That's right.
Don't believe him. I didn't do any of those things.
Oh, we were just talking about you about how you had recommended Charlie and Company before saying it's one of the best acts for our convention.
He's never told me that to my face.
I know he hasn't. Now he's walking out the door. He's not going to say it now either.
He's not confirming it either.
No. I did, and I never got my commission for that. I think we should talk more about that on record right here.
It should be the person who actually got booked who would be getting the commission.
You know what we're a little concerned about? This is the first day at Magic Live, and Stan is totally calm.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have any stress about you at all. That's a good point. Too smooth.
I think that just means I have no idea what's really going on right now. I don't know. You guys hit the peak out. These guys waited in line for, what, 10 days yesterday to get a bag?
We slept on the sidewalk.
So that's why you're so skinny.
We slept on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Were you the one selling water out there?
You know why Stan's so heavy? They've legalized hallucinogenics here in Vegas now. That's why, yeah.
But you know, back to Dylan. This little dog, he's just amazing. I can't wait for everyone.
But can he walk on two legs?
No, not Dylan. No, don't. No, he doesn't have any legs.
I was going to say.
Yeah, every night we take him out for a drag.
I thought they call him Matt.
Yeah. No, we take him out for a drag. We wouldn't even name him. He doesn't come when you call him anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, poor little guy. I just love him to death. We had a couple other dogs, Lab and Lassie, show dogs, beautiful dogs. Forget about it.
Lab and Lassie.
Yeah, I was going to go into more, but I realized I can't. You know, some of this stuff has to remain secret until the show airs. But anyway, where were we?
We were talking about the dogs that work in Charlie and Cherry's act.
Show me on Scott where you touched the dog.
Please. You take him out for a drag. That's got to be interesting.
Always believe the dog. Always believe the dog.
Dogs lie.
They do. They lie down. Then stand up.
So this is really, I think this is your best podcast.
So far today. Yes. Okay. In the last hour, it's got to be, I would say.
So what are you...
You're still hanging out in Chicago?
No, I've
Where
left Chicago in 1997.
Miami. Okay.
And I've been to Miami many times.
Where are you now?
Las Vegas, in a room with you, doing an interview, pretty much. Well, I don't know if you call it an interview, but let me tell
Charlie's
you
Charlie's
going to
blow water out of his nose here.
I'm working on
Dylan
it.
Dylan is just like a good dog. He's a good boy.
Good boy.
Yeah, good
Who's
boy.
A good boy?
Yeah, have a cookie.
You realize Bill is probably the busiest magician in show business.
I do, which I'm glad that I had a chance then to see him because it's so rare.
It
you know,
rare.
I mean,
They're
you're a small, medium...
Well, knock on wood, I hope it continues, but I love what I do. I love making people laugh. Mm-hmm. I've attempted it here, you know, but we're not doing too well. It's just not working, so I'm going to retire probably. You've ruined my act.
Speaking of retiring, you know, that I, some years ago, was talking to Mike Rogers, and Mike was saying that if he was going to do his career over, he wouldn't be a trade show guy because that he was so tired of standing 8 hours a day and then going to the hospitality suites at night, and his legs were just killing him, and was just tired of standing. I mean, it's been a good career, but, you know, after he got out of the Navy, other things that he could have done, and perhaps he said, this has been lucrative, other things I could have done. I've enjoyed it, but, you know, if I was going to do something. It's not really inspiring.
Well, you know,
you're saying you're going to be retiring.
Trade shows is a hard business.
It can take a lot out of you.
When I first started doing trade shows a long time ago, I hated it. After about a year, I was just so tired of being in my – it was the closest thing you could ever do compared to a real job. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you're on your feet all day long.
You're talking about a real company.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's not easy gathering a crowd, and it's not easy keeping right. them there, and it's not easy delivering the message without people walking away. So it's an exhausting day all the way around, and it's 3 or 4 days. However, having said that, I quit doing trade shows back when I was in my mid-20s or late 20s because of those reasons. Later on in my life, I started doing auto shows. Auto shows are 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day.
Wow.
And you're talking 17 days in a row. Mm-hmm. So I used to think trade shows were hard. When I got through doing auto shows, I would give anything for a 3 or 4 day trade show.
How's an auto show different than a trade show? I mean, I think of that as being a trade show because there's like Ford and Chevy and everybody else in an auto show.
Pitching cars
instead of sinks and bathroom fixtures.
Well, the biggest thing is, like I told you, the hours and the days.
Well, yeah.
You're talking 9 hours a day.
But are you being like an MC or doing magic then?
Oh, no, I work on the cars. Yeah.
Okay, so somebody's under the hood and you're the guy.
Exactly. Yeah, I work on the car. I set up the boots and stuff. But no, it's mainly that, but it's open to the public.
Right. Oh,
so it's a million people visit every auto show in a 17-day period. Mm-hmm. So as soon as you turn on your mic, it's easy to get a crowd.
Right.
But you have a crowd that is so huge, even though you have a microphone, you still have to put so much energy out. Because you have to keep them there. So it's harder.
Would you do several spots an hour, or would you do a spot on the hour?
Actually, I only had to work 5 minutes every hour, which seems like nothing. You think most people would think 5 minutes every hour, that's easy. It's not, though, because you're still on that floor every day for all those hours.
You're not working, you're glad-handling people and being sociable.
So, but I mean, after 17 days straight of anything, I mean, you guys know, I can't believe the amount of shows you guys do. Plus, in Charlie's case, he has to practice his act, you know, every single day. He doesn't have to, but he does.
I'm going to be a juggler next lifetime. Mentalist. I'm going to be a mentalist.
You don't have to carry nearly as much. Well, that's why you have company, right?
That's why I carry the bags.
Yeah.
So you're saying whenever that you're working like 17 days in a row.
I used to. I mean, I did this.
I understand with the auto shows, but you're talking about like how many days in a row would you guys do like the Illusionist show?
Oh, my God.
Well, I don't. How many days?
Well, the last week on Broadway, we did 17 shows. It was insane.
Yeah.
Too much.
And that includes matinees?
We did like 11 in the morning shows.
Yeah.
Okay. And then an afternoon and then evening show. So we'd get there at like, because the show was at, what, 11?
Yeah.
Get there at 9 in the morning and get out around 11 at night.
Didn't we do a job in Malaysia for 6 months without a day off?
7 days a week. Yeah.
7 days a week.
But not only that, correct me if I'm wrong, but they do a lot of press shows for the press to promote the shows too. So besides doing the show every night, they're out doing television spots and commercials and stuff like that.
That's just part of the job. I mean, that's not something obviously they're paying you for. They're just trying to get people into the showroom.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, just to promote it.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Let's go back to Bill.
No, but you were saying as far as all the stuff that you're having to carry as a juggler, are you finding that you're carrying more?
We travel like tourists. You know, we pack small and play big, we hope.
Okay.
There's no excess baggage.
That's why you use more rings, because they're thin?
I don't use rings, yes, but that is a good thing with rings. But, so everything, we have it down to a science. I take the jokers out of the deck to lighten up the cards.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
There's a tip for you there, Bill.
Yeah, no, I never thought of that. I'm going to start using that.
But it's the stress. It's really the stress, I think, that comes with juggling that I could live without. You know, because it is.
Doesn't have to think about.
Yeah, it is physically demanding, and you've got to keep it up. And you still, there's an uncertainty every time you work. And
you know what? The thing that we're talking about right now, I find really interesting, because I think if you spoke to a lot of professional people that are doing stuff for a living, sometimes those people don't care as much as people like Charlie Fry and company, and even me. We care so. It's like, it's not easy to do a good performance every time by any means, no matter how many times you've done it. That's why Charlie practices the way he does. That's why before every show I practice, every single show I get nervous. So when you add all that stuff, you know, together, it's like it's a long, hard day. It's something you love to do. And when people are laughing, and Sherry, I mean, her nails are worn to the core. She has manicured her nails with an emery board. It's like,
Bill and I've talked about this, about the nerves thing, because I've asked everybody about that. Great jugglers, David Berglass, we were speaking with him. Everybody I've ever admired, I ask about that question. Do you get nervous on stage or anything? And just about everybody has said so. And
the greats.
And Bill put it in a good way, and I'm paraphrasing you. I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, but it shows that you care. That's really what it comes from. You really care about what you're doing, and it gives you that extra little zinga. You got to be able to control it, especially as a juggler. You're in trouble if the nerves get the best of you. But if you can make peace with it, know that that's where it's coming from. It's coming from a desire to do a great show for these people, too. Not doing a great show for the applause and the ego boost. You're doing a great show for them because you really want to give them a great show. It's about giving and not taking.
I like what Jeff McBride says about
I don't like anything
trying to get your butterflies to fly in formation.
Yes.
Well, that's if you have butterflies. I've never owned butterflies.
So. I know.
You have them all.
I got pigeons. Yeah. And they fly all over the place. You know, they're very messy. You know, but it's it really is true. I mean, the more that you... the more that you realize, you know, people like us, we've done our shows hundreds and thousands of times. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't make it any less easier.
It does for some guys. I think it's easier for you than it would be for Charlie. Because, I mean, there is the risk of dropping something as opposed to, you're not going to mess up with cards. Because as you said, magic is, quote,
easy.
No.
Yeah. I'm still working on it.
But Bill is concentrating on hitting them hard and making them laugh and have a good time from the minute it goes. And that's where some of the bits like the cards out the mouth have come from and stuff. Yeah. Because that's where you're...
But the risk is almost equal. I mean, if you drop something, you mess up. Same way if I don't go over and the audience doesn't like me and
like
I don't connect with them.
Your personality?
Your whole show.
Okay.
You know, just that night, if you don't... Yeah, if you don't feel like you're giving them your all and you feel like you weren't on that night, it's like, you know, it's the same difference.
You can do the very same show, but the audience is not hitting for that.
Exactly.
And you know it's not you because you just the night before you killed. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, people are seeing
you... How do you handle that?
You just give it your all. Like I said, you don't phone it in. You don't.
I don't think Bill knows what it's like to not go over. The thing is, he's aiming for a standard. Like we've talked about, people sometimes that always brag about, oh, I killed him. Oh, I killed. Oh,
standing
man,
ovation.
I killed. Standing ovation. Oh, I killed.
And they believe it.
And they really believe it.
Yeah.
But if you have really killed and you really know what it's like to kill, you can't wait to do it again, and you hope to do it again. And
it's an adrenaline rush,
We're always going to go over. I know we're going to go over. Bill knows he's going to go over. But he's aiming for the highest standard. He wants people to walk away going, that's the... Like Mason Jonathan says that. I don't want them to walk away and say, that was a great magic show, or I had a good time. I want them to walk away going, that was the funniest thing I've ever seen. That's the funniest show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
When they walk away from Bill, they know his name. They remember it. That stays with them forever. He's given them a memory and an experience that is one of a kind.
And
so once you feel that,
Mace.
And then that's what he's aiming for. Every
time. And they say, bring on Dylan. Bring on Dylan.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
You know, to me, the way I measure a good show, and I guess everybody's different, I'm sure. I don't know how you do it, but we'll ask you this next. But I think that the way I measure a good show is if I had fun doing my show, because my show's a talking show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm back and forth with the audience. And when we're really connecting, and there's just things happening that are making this atmosphere change. I go to my room after the show. Sometimes I laugh because I had such a good time. Because a lot of my humor comes out of the moment, what's going on in the moment. So the more the audience is giving to me, the more I can give back to them. And there's no better feeling in the world than leaving a show and thinking, boy, that was fun. You know, it's not like, boy, I did a good show, or boy, was I good. It's like, that was fun because of everything in that room, the audience, everything.
But you can feel that because of the reaction. When you say a line or something, that they react immediately. And that is a good question, I think, to ask Charlie, because yours is done more to music and a silent type of a mime act. How do you get that immediate feedback?
I know it's
how
a good show if I'm not bleeding afterwards. Then I go, that was a good show. That was a good show.
It's like a pilot. As long as any landing is a safe landing, it's a good landing.
That's it. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. That's good advice.
Thank you. Why are you guys laughing? That's my real answer. I don't have anything else.
So anyway, Dylan does this.
No, you can feel it. You can feel an audience. You can feel it, you know. And Bill, you play it like an instrument. You know,
well,
you
now yours is then, though, time to music and everything, so that you have certain beats you have to hit. And what if the audience is extending their appreciation through laughter or applause longer than...
The music's going to step on it. I'm still going ahead with the next trick. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
But I think that's the great thing about your act is the audience is reacting the whole way through because of the high energy. It's like, my God, you can't wait till it's over. That doesn't sound right. But you can't wait till it's over just because your body wants to jump to its feet to give you an ovation. I mean, that's how the energy carries in your show. I mean, I remember the first time I saw their show, I was just absolutely blown away. I never saw a live show that I thought had that much humor, that much energy, that much everything. Unbelievable. And then I noticed Charlie in the background was doing some juggling things. But that Sherry, the energy of the Emery board was like just absolutely
unbelievable.
Her nails
were just
perfect. Oh, they were beautiful. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. I got photos of them at home.
Does she do your nails?
Yeah, once in a while.
You, a pedicure as well?
No pedicures. No, we don't go there. I'm married. Jesus. Scott.
Just muffins.
Yeah, muffins. I love her muffins, by the way.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. I'm going to eat a couple of them later. I have them in a bag right here by my feet.
He gave Sherry the keys to his hotel room. I'm a little concerned.
When there's no kitchen in your
every
room.
Every time I come visit these guys in Vegas, Sherry makes me a dinner. She is one of the greatest cooks in the world. If she
Swanson?
Came back in another life and you weren't with Charlie Fine Company, chef.
Okay.
Top chef
okay,
with great muffins.
She won't let me in the kitchen. No matter where we're in, if I walk in the kitchen, I'm in her way. I don't know why it is. I'm always in her way. I have to wait in the garage until dinner is ready.
But Charlie, you said that you wouldn't necessarily want to carry a lot of juggling things. Would you rather just do magic? You like magic over juggling?
No, I've changed my mind on that. Now I'm going back. Now
back
I would like to be a juggler next time.
Okay.
That's why I do podcasts badly, because I really changed my whole philosophy
waffle.
Throughout the whole thing.
Cooking or waffling.
It's
you're
funny.
Waffling.
A lot of people, a lot of people, I think, just think about Charlie as a juggler. But he's one of the best sleight-of-hand close-up magicians I've ever seen.
Seen his lecture, and he's got a lot
He's
really
so
good.
Creative.
And the
it's
gags
unbelievable.
And everything, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is all being said because I'm being forced to say this right now. But I'll tell you the truth later on in my own podcast. But right now, I want to say that Charlie Fry is one of my favorite close-up magicians.
I'd like to interject something. I'm just a guy off the street that just walked in.
hey, we're doing a podcast here.
You know what? One thing that Charlie Fry hates is people that talk about themselves in the third person. I just think Charlie Fry hates that.
Yeah, I know Bill Malone hated that, too. Yeah.
You got that from Charlie Fry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're good friends, those
if two. If there's one word that describes you, it's
hair.
Doesn't follow instructions.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's some funny stuff, Scott. I'm surprised you're doing these podcasts and not out there doing the three-word jokes kind of things. I mean, I was highly offended just now, but I'm going to take a deep breath. Okay, all right,
Dylan.
I'm good. I get it. Oh, did I tell you about Dylan?
Dylan?
My dog?
No, what
he's
does he do?
He's going on America's Got Talent.
What kind of dog is it?
He's a three-word dog.
Yeah. Is it three? Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Dylan, what's his second and third
His last
name
is Malone, Dylan Malone.
So Dylan Malone.
Yeah, Dylan Malone.
Okay, that doesn't quite have the same beat.
Dylan Malone.
We
that
just
sounds
call him
better.
Dill.
You call him Dill for short?
Dill Malone.
See, that sounds much better.
I like it.
That's
I
where
do.
I was going.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's very good.
Because otherwise
you've got
to go
Malone.
Four ways across here.
You're right, and he's a puppy. He can hurt himself. You know.
Well, especially since he doesn't have any arms or legs.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Yeah, well, they're growing. It's not that like they're not going to grow. I mean, he's a puppy. So
they can, like a chameleon,
they'll
I guess, kind of a thing. Okay. How about his tail? I guess that's how you take it out for a drag, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The
animal rights activists are going to be after you. That's Bill Malone. Malone.
PETA.
Now, that's an interesting thing also. We're talking about people remembering your name. Do you feel that people remember Charlie Fry and company?
I don't know. Do they?
Does
anybody remember
it? No, because they spell it every way that
We've been misspelled in
every
language.
Country.
Have you ever thought about having a stage name and changing that?
No.
I mean, like Banachek, you know, went from change, and different people changed their name.
I don't know. Banachek doesn't fit that.
That was a TV show with George Peppard, wasn't it? Wasn't Banachek and George Peppard? Wasn't he a detective or something?
Yeah, but people remember that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a little late in our career to change our name.
Charlie Fry is a good stage name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come?
We're the third frying company. There was a frying company in Vaudeville, and then there was one in the 30s. And so they were just Fry and Company, but spelled the same way, F-R-Y-E, Fry and Company. So we have the posters.
No relation?
Not that I know of, but I don't know.
And that's your real name?
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, it wasn't like a stage name or a truncated name?
No, but it's a good short.
Okay.
It should be an easy name to spell, but, I mean, they'll spell Anha Lim, Yuho Jin, they'll spell these things, Vladimir Voronsky, and they don't spell Charlie Fry, misspelled.
Fry. Never spelled it.
Never spelled.
Yeah, a friend of mine, Bob Smith in Houston, a lot of times they can't remember.
Don't tell me they spell that wrong.
No, they can't say his name. Here's that magician guy. And they just told us, I mean, how much easier can it be?
And his name is Bob Smith?
Yeah.
It's like Jane Doe. You know?
Is there something in the water down there?
That's hard, Bob.
And they forget his name.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, but, you know, Bill Malone.
Yeah.
This, there's a big magic convention in here in town, but it's a menswear apparel Guild International. That's what it stands
magic.
For.
It's called Magic.
Right. Yeah. And Sherry's family is from the menswear business, and so they would always come to town for the big magic convention. And Bill, I wrote this in the article about him and Jeannie, that I knew him before he knew us, because I would see him perform there. He was working for Burlington, I think, right?
Burlington Industries.
Yeah. I just lost.
The ones making underwear in that company, or you don't mean the steel company?
No, clothing.
Right, clothing. Yeah.
And not to be sad here, but recently lost a cousin-in-law, Jerry's cousin, to brain cancer, unfortunately. And he had such a good attitude.
Glioblastoma? Mm-hmm. My wife just passed 2 months ago from that.
Oh, Lord, bless your heart. But when we went to see him, he had been through some of the surgeries and the chemo and stuff. And we were talking, and he goes, "Hey, how's your friend?" I went, "Oh, yeah." The magician goes, "Yeah, Bill Malone. Bill Malone.
They say it the same
Bill
way.
Malone." And that was something that he still remembered. He couldn't see what a playing card's identity was. He didn't know the Three of Clubs from the Queen of Hearts or something.
That's really cool.
But he could remember Bill.
And what a story.
And it brought a smile to his face, and it made him happy. Because we had talked about that before, you know. Later I said, "Oh, you know," and he that stuck in his mind. And it always made him happy. And his whole family, my whole family on Sherry's side, always remembers Bill Malone. And he'll get it in airports when he walks through, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's not by design. That's not like a marketing design. That happened organically. You know, people try to think of these gimmicks and these things, whereas most great artists come from art. I know that Bill's motivation, certainly make a living and everything, but his first motivation was to be an artist, to do what he loves. Mm-hmm. And all the success that he's met with on top of that is the icing on the cake. But the cake
is so big. If you could see me right now.
The cake is that he's a great entertainer. I'm going to interrupt him, not let him speak, because that's the thing. You know, he's a great entertainer. And then all the success and the notoriety came on top of that.
Yeah, it's just really cool when you think about how many audiences has seen us perform over the years, no matter what the venues, trade shows, stage, close-up, and it could be anything. But you never know how you affect sometimes people for the rest of their lives. They have a memory of something, and you would never even know it because you'll never see those people again. But it's like real magic.
Are you conscientious, both of you guys, in what you say and do? In other words, about how whatever you might do might impress or depress somebody. It's like, I always looked up to this guy, but then if you write an autograph or something and you don't smile or whatever, and in other words, if there's something that might be said offhanded that person will have.
We're both hypersensitive to that. We're always scared we're going to hurt somebody's feelings or something. I know. You know, and especially at something like this, a young guy will come up and they want to go, and we don't want to be the kind of person that would snub them, because we've always been lucky to.
You've always been snubbed.
Yeah, I've always been snubbed. I know what it's like to be snubbed as a child.
I've been there. Yeah.
Dylan
never got an autograph.
Yeah.
Dylan won't write anything.
He can pee with it, though.
Oh, okay. Boy, there's a lot to edit out of this, isn't there?
Man. Oh. I should have listened to what Marlo said about that. No, I should have. Ask me what he said.
Which is, what did he say?
I don't know. I didn't listen. Boy, that took a long way to get there. Long... Silence.
The reason I mention that is because when I was younger, I had asked someone for an autograph who was a well-known magician, and
I'm sorry,
offhanded comment, you know, and being upset and swearing, and so.
He said something mean to you?
Yeah, he did, and it kind of you know, I didn't have the same.
You don't want to name the name.
Who was
no,
it?
I
come
don't.
On, come
no.
on.
No,
just give
somebody.
Us a hint.
No.
Turn the mic off.
No, give us a hint.
after we're over.
Blackstone.
Copper Tone. No. No, come on. Is it somebody we would know?
Yeah. It's disappointing.
Is it somebody in the room?
I met Doug Henning.
Yeah,
a few times.
Yeah, he called me a son of a... No, no. A guy introduced me as a clown to him. And most people, you introduce somebody as a clown, they might go, "Oh, a clown. Right, what do you do, kids' party?"
Right, right.
He went, "A clown? How wonderful." And then we talked for a while. And I thought, he was already my hero, but he just went through the roof.
Yeah.
With,
that was really cool.
So sweet and nice.
He put you on a different plane all of a sudden.
And so it was sincere. You know, the audience could feel... He was a great guy. And Lance has that. Lance, you know, if people meet Lance and realize, wow, he really is a sweet, wonderful guy. And it's disappointing if somebody you admire and they turn out to be a jerk.
Like Bill.
Boy, yeah. it never feels quite the same anymore.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, regardless, even if you later become friends and you know them on a different level, it's that first impression you can never get back again. You know.
Yeah. So that, I don't know.
That's important. I think be nice to everybody.
Yeah, and for the because you're a nice person, not because you're trying to manipulate that's a good marketing strategy.
AJ wrote a book on the art of schmoozing, and one of the things I thought was kind of cool about that, in the beginning he was saying, you're not schmoozing because you want to get something. You're giving something because you're just a nice person, not expecting anything in return. If you get something back, that's fine, but you should do something just out of your character being a nice, loving person. Not character, your inner soul, I guess, basically.
Exactly.
You know?
It's got to be you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're either that way or you're not. Because you can't fake sincerity. I don't believe you can. I think, you know, we all meet people every day of our lives, and sometimes you'll just get a feeling about somebody and you'll think, boy, that he just didn't feel right.
Although that was a really funny
thing he was saying. But.
When I asked Harry Anderson, I remember, to sign like his 8x10 black and white way back when, and he had this stamp that said sincerely, you know, and then he would sign Harry Anderson.
That's great. That's
best
very funny.
In the world. Your name
well, he was great. He was one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
We lost a big one with
him. It's amazing, yeah. I mean, the different people who have passed with him and Tom Mulligan and others that, far before their time, you know.
Only the good die young. We're not that good. I think we'll be around a while. We're going to be stuck with
110. You guys are going to be 110.
Yeah. You know, I'm talking about philosophy. I'm totally changing the subject.
Go ahead. You know,
how's Dylan?
Dylan's good. Dylan's good. Thanks for asking.
I think one thing that when mentioning Lance, Bill, or whatever, that they have in common is didn't set out to be famous and well-known or anything. And I feel like a lot of young people now are kind of getting into it for the accolades.
That's a really good point. They want to get more YouTube video or likes
all
on Facebook.
Self-promotion. And I want to be famous, and I want to make money, and I want to be famous. And I just think that's kind of misguided.
You know, how should you look at it?
I think you should look at it because you love it. And you want to give. It's not taking. It's giving. You want to give a good time. You want to give. You make people happy. You're a performer that comes out and gives rather than just takes.
Right.
You know, it's easy to take applause. It's easy to take other people's applause if you steal material. You know, but it shouldn't be a taking thing. It should be a giving.
And the money and the success will come later.
Right. I think it's
if you go into it for the money, you probably will never get it. But if you go in there for the love and the passion of what you're doing, really wanting to entertain people, that's where you're going to get the money.
That's where the real rewards are.
Well, we're going to have to wrap up, but before we go, I want to ask you one last question over here, and that has to do with the magic word. The name of the podcast is called The Magic Word. So my question is, what is your philosophy of life? What do you live by? Could be a phrase or a word. What is important to you when you wake up in the morning to kind of get you going? What do you try to live by?
Well, Barb and I have a thing where we promise each other that we make each other laugh every day, and we try to do that every day. And that's why if you see me, you know all the people that I know and hang around with, they all have great sense of humors. Mm-hmm. I can sit with this guy right here, Charlie Fry, and Charlie, isn't it true? We can get together.
What about me?
And Sherry, of course. Go sit down in a corner.
Get back in the corner.
Damn it, and put some clothes on. But three of us can literally sit here in Vegas all day and all night. What don't we just laugh so hard we cry? They make me cry, and it's just crazy stuff. We're just enjoying life, you know, and that's what it's about. To me, it's the way you think about life.
Is.
Laugh every day.
Laugh every day. Yeah. Charlie?
Yeah.
Sherry?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, don't copy that.
I'll give you the meaning of life. You want the meaning of life?
What is it?
Here's the meaning of life is what you mean to others. That's it, folks. It's what you mean to others. And you mean a lot more to people than they realize, and that can be just with a casual meeting. Or fortunately, we have a great social thing with magic and stuff. You can meet people, make people happy. So the meaning of life is what you mean to others. Bill means the world to me, and I mean that sincerely.
Mutual admiration society here. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate
it. Scott,
so the Magic Word Podcast. It's Bill Malone, Charlie Fry and Company. Thank you guys.
All right.
Scotty out.
Well, you can tell that I had a lot of fun with that chat. It was always a lot of fun to talk with Bill Malone. And then when you compound that exponentially, you get some real synergy when you add Charlie Fry and Sherry to the dynamic as well. So I want to thank my guests again this week for taking a few moments to spend chatting with me about some serious stuff as well as a lot of funny stuff that as well. It's kind of interesting, some of the things in between. So as you guys go back in and listen to that perhaps a second time, you might be able to ferret out some additional information that has to do with how to improve your own magic and comedy and trade shows and working on cars. Anyhow, thanks, Billy. And also, thank you, Charlie and Sherry. So as I mentioned at the first part of this podcast, we're going to provide a few product reviews from those things available from Murphy's Magic Supplies that you can purchase from your favorite magic dealer, like theperfecttrick.com. We have three for Thursday, as we typically like to do, and they are, one of them is kind of an impromptu kind of a thing. The other is a card trick, and the other one is really more of a stage effect, or it could be parlor. Perhaps you could use this for close-up. I'll let you be the one to make the decision. But here we go. All right, first up is a trick from the other brothers, that is Daryl Davis and Daryl Williams, and it's called Smooth Prediction. This is available from Vanishing Ink that you can purchase from them or anybody, but this is, again, coming from Murphy's Magic Supplies. The idea is they go into a little bit of detail on the explanation of the history. It was kind of a Mentekel deck and some other things that they had added to this, and they give you a lot of good suggestions as to having to make this prediction. Let me explain what the effect is. The one big trick that they suggest that is the opening trick would be where you have two spectators and one cuts to a card, they look at it and they put the deck back together. You hold the deck and someone else on the other side of you cuts the card, cuts to another one, and they look at their card then as well. You hand the other part of the deck back to them, and then whenever that you reach into your first pocket from the first spectator, you pull out a card that is a blank index card or blank playing card, basically, would have a prediction that would say you will choose the two of diamonds, whatever that happened to be. They can pull that out of your pocket. It's clean as well. And then you turn to your other side, and in your other pocket to the other person's card, of course, the prediction is correct there whenever that card is removed from your pocket. Say you will be influenced to take, or you will choose the whatever the card, six of clubs. So that's the one of the basic effects, but there are other things that they suggest, like a card in envelope. It could be a card in wallet. This could be a card in any kind of another kind under the deck of cards, for an example. Other kinds of places where the card could be end up as far as where your prediction is going to be. But essentially, the card that they had selected, you had made a prediction, and you will have another bicycle size playing card, I should say poker size playing card, that is that has the prediction of whatever card it is that they had selected. It's a clever thing. I like the elements that they had put together in order to make this deck. The issue I have a little bit with this is to have it hit 100% of the time. You know, one of the ideas they had, of course, was a card under shoe. So this way, whenever the person would back up and they would see that the underneath their foot would be a card, and there would be the prediction that would say you will select the eight of diamonds or whatever. All those tricks are fine, but as far as the selection of the card, that's where I have a little bit of a problem, because of the way that you have to make sure that they pick up the cards properly, I guess, in order to select the card. I think that you can hit it most of the time, but I don't see this as being 100% of the time, although that he gives you some additional ideas on how to help guarantee that by putting a breather in the other cards as well. That, I think, will work well. I haven't fiddled with that part of it. If I do, I think that would improve your odds perhaps to 95% of the time, but there's still going to be that, I'm afraid, a little iffy. And I think there are some ways around that. So if they happen to get one and they get a card and they look at it, it says you will select the whatever, then I believe there would be a way that you could then have that other card pulled out and in a hiding place. So that would be the card. So that would match what is on that prediction card. So in other words, if they didn't select the card the way that they're supposed to by cutting, perhaps they would be cutting down to your prediction. And I believe that there is a way of having an out, so this way that the card that is on that prediction will match what you will later pull out. So in other words, they are predicting what you're going to do or whatever. I think there are some ways around that, but they really didn't go into that detail. My point being is that this is not 100% guaranteed that your spectator is going to cut to the right card the right way every time. That being said, I think it's a clever idea. I think it'll work most of the time, and I believe that you can kind of get around it, and I think there are some, perhaps some audience management tips that might help improve your odds on that a little bit. I like it. Wouldn't give it a high recommendation, but I would give it an okay recommendation, I guess. Kind of, it's okay. There are a lot of other prediction effects here again, as far as pocket management goes. Would I want to make space in my pockets for this one deck of cards that I could do one trick with? Probably not. Now, when I say do one trick, as I said in their video, there are several methods, or I should say different effects, I guess, that you can, well, the effect is always the same. It's always going to be a prediction, but there are different tricks that you can do, so it would appear to be something different. But I don't think it's valuable enough to make that pocket space, in my code at least, for this. Again, it's called Smooth Prediction by the other brothers, and it's okay. Next up is kind of a quickie that I'm not going to spend too much time on. It's called A Finger Flasher by Bracco. That's B-R-A-C-C-O, B as in Bravo, Bracco. There are no instructions that come with it, nor any link to a video or anything. Essentially, what you get is, you can figure it out fairly easily. It is a finger flasher that fits comfortably in the palm of your hand, or I should say, finger clip, I guess. It was kind of a finger palm position that you would normally think of as a classic palm, not a classic palm, but a finger palm for cards. So it nestles nicely just in the folds of your fingers. It's flesh colored. It's got a little igniter and a nice area that you can put some flash cotton or flash paper or whatever. And by just striking the mechanism, of course, would ignite it. It also has a hole in the bottom of this, so this way that you could attach a pole and the thread comes with it, so that you can attach that pole. All you need to put on the end of that, of course, would just be a safety pin, I guess, and put it wherever you want it, whether it's going to be under your jacket, up your sleeve, or wherever, essentially, so this way that it's ready, that you can pull out when you need it, and you can have fire at your fingertips pretty much at your disposal. It's something that I thought that I might want to use. It's not, though. I mean, I've got some other things. Years ago, Kikuchi had made a finger flasher, and there's some other things that I had purchased from Daytona Magic and things over the years. That's why I've always been kind of interested in fire, but then I guess aren't we all? All kids like to play a little bit with fire, but nevertheless, this little flasher will add something dramatic, but is it worth it? I mean, if you're going to be doing something close up and you're going to be wanting to make some coins appear, I guess you could do that. Then just kind of let this go back up your sleeve or under your jacket with the pole that is attached to it, and then already have the coins finger palm behind the finger flasher. It would work, I guess. It's well made. It's going to last a lifetime, and it will also protect your fingers. I don't believe that you're going to receive any kind of a burn or anything the way that it's constructed. So for what it is, I recommend it. If you're going to use finger flasher, this would be a good one to use. If not, then probably want to skip it. So that's Finger Flasher by Bracco. And then finally up this week, completing and rounding out our three for Thursday, is something that's called Suspend by Richard Griffin. This, I think, is kind of a clever little gimmick, and it's something that, well, let me explain what the effect is. Basically, you have a soda can or an energy drink can or a beer can. You have a Sharpie. Most magicians will carry around a Sharpie, and you just would tap the top of the can, and then when you lift up the Sharpie, the can is suspended. That is, that it is held in place in midair just by the pen, as if it has some magnetic qualities or something. The cool thing is, of course, this is a borrowed can. It can even be a borrowed Sharpie. All you need to have is the gimmick that comes with this trick that you buy. In fact, they even you can go out and take a look at the video and even the explanation of it. You still have to buy the gimmick because you can't make one of these things, you know, really yourself because of how well that it is made. Very well constructed. And it is a pretty cool little thing. And so, obviously, as I said, you can borrow a can. You borrow a Sharpie. You can attach this gimmick if you want. Already have it on there. But the idea is that then you can hand the can out and you can hand the Sharpie back. And by palming off the little gimmick, that you're good to go. It is a cool little thing. It is something that if you're going to be going to a bar or over to a friend's house just for a party, it would be something kind of cool to carry around with you. Or if you're going to be going to show some other magicians, I think it would fool some magicians also, because it's... Is it one of those things that is, I always refer to Occam's razor? I mean, do you think it's something that seems obvious? It wasn't so much to me at first as to what I thought that the gimmick was. I will say there are no magnets and no threads. And so beyond that, if you figured that out, then yeah, it is Occam's razor, but it would be the obvious solution. But again, the way that this is made, that is difficult for you to replicate just in your garage or basement, you know, trying to create something else like this. But that's the effect, you know, basically, of just tapping it, you know, one, two, three, and then when you lift it the third, to lift up your pen the third time, the can is attached to your pen. It is pretty cool. I wouldn't say I give it a really high recommendation, but I would say I recommend it. It is something that's kind of cool and something I would probably play with. And in the right situation, it just adds a little bit more touch of mystery. And it might be something that some people will remember. What's kind of cool about this, number one, I think it looks very cool if you're going to be doing something on television. It's very visual. Number two, because of its... if you're doing it in a restaurant or something, that's people from across the way, or if a cocktail party, people across the way are going to see that because it is so striking. They're going to say, what just happened over? What's going on over there? And they will, you know, come over to, I think it's a cool little thing to draw attention. Could be something kind of cool for a street performer also, because a lot of times people are walking around with soda cans. As I said, the soda can can be full. So that's what's kind of cool, is because it can actually pick up the whole weight of the can, or it can be an empty can if you wish. But it actually, I think, works better with a full can. So anyhow, that's the thing. It's called Suspend by Richard Griffin, and I'd recommend it. Well, there you have it. There are three different effects, really different effects, that are available from Murphy's Magic Supplies, and you can pick up from your favorite magic dealer, like the Magic Word Podcast, where we have our own online shop also. But I suggest that you go to our sponsor, that is theperfecttrick.com. I'm sure that, well, I know, they have every one of these things and more. In fact, they've got like 15,000 different items that are available through their online shop at theperfecttrick.com. And don't forget that if you mention the word WORD in the checkout, that is, use the promo code WORD, W-O-R-D, in checkout, you get 10% off of your entire purchase. So, there you go from Murphy's Magic Supplies. Thank you guys for sending these things to me for review, and I hope that it helps with your buying decisions when you're going out to buy your next magic trick to find your perfect trick. So, this episode has been number 449, as we are continuing to slowly approach number 500, and I have an idea of somebody I would like to have as my 500th guest, but that's not going to be until next year, I'm sure, because I'm not going to do another 50 between now and the end of the year. But if you've got some suggestions as to who that you would like to hear on the Magic Word Podcast, we've got a lot of time. Submit your suggestions to me. I would like to see if I can make some arrangements to make that happen, and you can always contact me by just writing me at scott@themagicwordpodcast.com, or you can just leave your comments over there on Facebook, or you can leave a comment, of course, just at the bottom of the blog each week, anywhere you want, over here on themagicwordpodcast.com. But the best thing really is to send me an email and let me keep that in a file, and I'll see if I can get around perhaps to your suggestion, and the ones that I receive the most votes for, I'll really make a special effort to try to have an in-depth conversation with that person. The two people so far that I that are a difficult get for me have been Siegfried, because Siegfried and Roy, because he's not doing any interviews. I've approached him two or three times, even personally, and spoken to him. And for a variety of reasons, he's just not doing any interviews with anybody, no chats, no podcasts, anything with anybody. David Copperfield is another one that's difficult, and I don't think I can get through to him either unless you happen to have some sort of an insight. But for him to actually sit down with me for an hour to chat would be perhaps not only a great dream, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be happening. But there are a lot of other people out there in our magic world who I think would be wonderful. If you'd like for me to talk with them, again, let me know. And speaking of that, we are going to be at the number 450 next week. And so in order to make that kind of a special thing, I've got a legendary performer who I know you'll like to hear from, and that's the legendary performer, Mr. Newspaper Act, and the Torn and Restored guy, Gene Anderson. He's been a longtime friend, and I'm glad that I had a chance to sit down and chat with him, and I know you're going to enjoy that. It's our episode number 450 next week here on The Magic Word. So, until next week, stay well, get booked, and go out and make someone laugh today. This is Scotty out.